and a very good morning to one and all again. We've been studying Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 to 18 for the last 2 weeks. We are now at Nehemiah chapter 9. And our text is taken from Nehemiah chapter 9 verses 1 to 6. Nehemiah chapter 9 verses 1 to 6. I shall read it for you. Verse 1. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Benai, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, Sherebiah, Benai, and Kenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Benai, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pesahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshippeth thee." Who has positively influenced your work with God? How have they done so? Human examples are powerful tools, either in the hands of Satan or in God's hands. This message shows how God marvelously used the example of Nehemiah to affect the lives of the people of Jerusalem. The testimony of our lives is much louder than the lessons from our lips. Nehemiah knew that principle well. He was a leader who taught godliness with his life. But before we carry on, let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you have called us to a battle against the enemy of our souls. The warfare rages on. The adversary presses on every side. Lord, without you by our side, we will fall. Thank you for providing armor for the battle. O Lord, impress upon our minds the absolute necessity of each of the 6 pieces: belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Yes, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and which we will once again learn how to wield this morning. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Nehemiah won the strong admiration of the people despite the presence of Tobias' followers in Jerusalem. Nehemiah's followers showed their admiration for Nehemiah by copying 6 of his behaviors. The first 5 behaviors are the focus of this message. Roman numeral 1. The people fasted as Nehemiah had. The people fasted as Nehemiah had. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 1. A solemn meeting closed the Feast of Booths on the 22nd day of Tishri. The events of chapter 9 opened on the 24th day of Tishri. Those who lingered in Jerusalem after the feast fasted voluntarily. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 1 reads, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them." It might seem odd that the people fasted and put on sackcloth and ashes so soon after a period of joyous feasting, especially since Nehemiah had asked the people to rejoice instead of weep in chapter 8, verses 9 to 10. The solemn assembly at the end of the Feast of Booths in chapter 8, verse 18, probably provided the impetus for the fasting. Just as the 40 years in the wilderness climaxed with the awesome responsibility to conquer the land, the Feast of Booths climaxed with the awesome responsibility to be wise stewards of the land, freshly repossessed and fortified. The people in Jerusalem had more than likely acquired the practice of fasting from Nehemiah. Cross-reference with Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. Upon first hearing of the devastation in Jerusalem from Hanani, Nehemiah set aside his own physical needs and desires and devoted himself to prayer to address the problem in Jerusalem. How might a leader show his commitment to the Lord today? Setting aside time each day to commune with the Lord through the word and prayer. Being faithful in his service for the Lord, in contrast to a poor leader who shows commitment to self by indulging himself. A question that naturally arises is whether fasting is still an appropriate way for a leader to show his commitment to God. The answer is yes. Fasting is not, however, a way to manipulate God. Jesus also warned against fasting before men in order to receive their praise. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Not only did the people fast as Nehemiah had, Roman numeral 2, the people mourned as Nehemiah had. The people mourned as Nehemiah had. This is also found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. The people wore sackcloth and humbly placed earth upon them when they fasted. Chapter 9, verse 1b. Once again, they followed the pattern Nehemiah has set in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. But why would the people mourn? They had rebuilt Jerusalem's walls, and they had just experienced revival. Even Nehemiah had recently proclaimed in chapter 8, verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The context explains the people's reason for fasting. Judah had indeed been restored, but it was not yet free. Chapter 9, verse 37. The land was still a province of Persia. It still owed taxes and loyalty to the Persian king. The people gained Persia's favor, but the favor was by no means permanent. The people even admitted, "We are in great distress because of Persia." Chapter 9, verse 37. It is good to bring our griefs before the Lord. Psalmists who lamented before God were not rebuked for doing so. Even 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." What does this verse ask believers to do? Cast their cares upon God, for he cares for them. But the more important point is this. When a leader publicly casts his cares on the Lord, the leader teaches his followers to be dependent on God, to put their trust in Him, and to count on His loving care. This is in contrast to a poor leader who, instead of mourning and taking his concerns to God, complained to God and to others about circumstances. Not only did the people fast as Nehemiah had, not only did the people mourn as Nehemiah had, Roman numeral 3, the people confessed as Nehemiah had. The people confessed as Nehemiah had. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 3. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2 reads, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." When Nehemiah first heard the news of Judah's plight, he confessed his sins and Judah's sins before the Lord. He prayed, "I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses." Chapter 1, verses 6b to 7. Nehemiah confessed these sins because he knew the sins had led to Jerusalem's chastisement. Like Nehemiah, the people fasting in Jerusalem surely perceived their bondage to Persia as chastisement for their sin. Moses had warned God's people about experiencing discipline for rebellion against God in Deuteronomy chapters 28 to 30. The people took those warnings to heart. Moving on, Nehemiah chapter 9 verses 2 to 3 reads, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God." To further show their return to God, the people separated themselves from all non-Jews in the city and listened intently to the reading of the law for 3 hours. For the following 3 hours, they confessed their sins before the Lord. Question: does a leader help his people by pretending to be perfect and never needing to confess his sins? No. A leader who pretends to be perfect misses out on the opportunity to teach his people about God's forgiving grace in his life. But a leader might use certain cautions when confessing his sins before others. The leader should not sensationalize his confession of sins to draw attention to himself. His confession of sin should point others to God's grace and cause them to want to confess their own sin to God. Again, this is in contrast to a poor leader who, instead of confessing his sins to God, covers sin and feigns holiness. The people fasted as Nehemiah had. The people mourned as Nehemiah had. The people confessed as Nehemiah had. Roman numeral 4. The people worshipped as Nehemiah had. The people worshipped as Nehemiah had. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 3 to 4. Worship was customary for Nehemiah. He repeated the worshipful title, God of Heaven, numerous times in his book, in chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, chapter 2, verse 4, and chapter 2, verse 20. He also took a strong role in leading the people in worship during the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Booths, chapter 8. It is not surprising, then, that the congregation of Jerusalem turned to God in spontaneous worship in chapter 9, verse 3. It is important to know that the worship of a leader who is mostly interested in drawing attention to himself instead of God is fake and heartless, showy and flowery. And worship is something we can't convincingly pretend to do. True worship is from our hearts and shows itself in the way we live our lives. True worship is also obvious to those who observe us as we worship. It shows on our faces. But a poor leader, instead of worshiping God for his greatness, seeks praise from people. Lastly, Roman numeral 5. The people prayed as Nehemiah had. The people prayed as Nehemiah had. The prayer that followed the people's worship resembles the pattern of a descriptive praise psalm. The people, led by Levites, praised the Lord for who he is and for what he had done. Chapter 9, verses 5 to 38. Reading through the book of Nehemiah, we learn to appreciate the frequency with which Nehemiah prayed. See chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. Chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 and verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 19. And chapter 6, verses 9 and 14. This man of prayer had influenced the people of Jerusalem to be people of prayer. They prayed for God's power, providence, and provision. Letter A. They prayed for God's creative power. They prayed for God's creative power. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 5 to 6. And Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 5 to 6 reads, "Then the Levites, Jeshua, and Kadmiel, Benai, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be the glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee.'" Recognizing God as the Creator is a good place to start a worshipful prayer to God. As Creator, God possesses the highest power and authority from over all creation. He alone deserves to be worshipped. God's power is best seen in his ability to create something out of nothing. That ability gives him the authority over all the earth. The Levites stated that the host of heaven recognizes God's creative power and worships him. Chapter 9, verse 6. God's creative power also means his ability to help those who come to him with needs is unlimited. In the past, Israel foolishly abandoned their creator for lifeless gods. The people of Nehemiah's day realized the futility of worshipping anything or anyone but God. We are running out of time, so we'll continue next week, or maybe next fortnight. But what have we learned so far? We have learned that Jerusalem reflected the heartbeat of Nehemiah. The people followed his spiritual leadership. After celebrating the Feast of Booths, they fasted, mourned, confessed, worshipped, and prayed. In conclusion, I would like to focus on the people praying for God's creative power. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. After God completed the work of creation, he rested. However, he continued his activity in upholding the universe and its powers. We see this in verse 6 of today's reading. Thou preservest them all. That is heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, are all preserved by God. We might say, as Charles Hodge did, that preservation is that omnipotent energy of God by which all created things, animate and inanimate, are upheld in existence with all the properties and powers with which he has endowed them. We see the truth of this not only in Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6, but also in such verses as Colossians chapter 1 verse 17, where we are told that Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, where he said to uphold all things by the word of his power. In other words, after God finished his work of creation, he did not leave the world to carry on as it pleased. Rather, through his active word, through his active work, God maintains in existence that which he has created. An illustration of this may be seen in Luke chapter 12 verse 6, cross-reference with Matthew chapter 10 verse 29. And O saint, now the Lord has written, the sparrow is one of the smallest and probably the least valuable of all birds. There are tens of thousands of little sparrows, but not one falls to the ground without God knowing it. And J.C. Ryle, he said, nothing is too little for God to create. Nothing is too little for God to preserve. Then he applied it to the Christian. Nothing that concerns God's people is too little for him to manage or for them to bring before him in prayer. Two sparrows for a farthing and five sparrows for two farthings. Yet even the free one, bonus for quantity purchase, does not fall to the ground without God's permission and is not forgotten by him. He preserves them all. Thank God that he actively preserves that which he has created. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for a hand and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Will you stand together with me, please? Heads bowed, and they'll be looking around. They'll be moving around. I would like to invite you to spend a few moments now reflecting on what we have just read. And as Sister Chow Ing begins to play a tune, I would like to ask you, are you feeling discouraged? Are there shadows in your life? Is your heart lonely and longing for heaven and home? Remember, his eye is on the sparrow, and he watches over you.